World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I'm reminded of Buffalo Springfield here this morning on the 28th day of August 2024. Something's happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. It's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. Hey, children, stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Some stuff going down, folks. Some stuff going down. I'll share it with you today, and I'm going to tell you this. Is Randy out there? I'm sure Randy's out there. Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer. Effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. What does an effectual, fervent prayer of many righteous men do? The Bible says that wherever two or more are gathered, he's in the midst. And wherever two or more agree in prayer, it'll be done. That's all scriptural, right? Could it be the problem's not the devil? Could it be the problem's us? Effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. We had another prayer vigil last night and had a little bit of press. Two nights ago, well, I'm not going to give glory to the enemy, but they've been trying to interrupt it. If you're not catching that prayer vigil at 8 o'clock, you need to do it, folks. It's powerful, and it will comfort you to be part of it. We'll do it again tonight at 8 o'clock. Ray's the guy that came up with the idea to do it, Ray. And Craig actually kind of simultaneously said the same thing. So we've been engaging in 11 nights of prayer before the election. And we'll get Spence and those guys to get a link out every night for you so you know how to do it. You log in there. And it was powerful again last night, even though we had some bumpy spots at the beginning of it. So I want to make you aware of that. Number two, yes, we're still working on the hurricane thing, but we're not going down. Betty's down there. Some people are already down there. Steve Deck's down there. But we're not going to go down there till after the election. So we got a lot of balls in the air, got a truck going on, a lot of stuff going on. But I'm just not going to spend a lot of time talking about it because it really isn't a whole lot to say about it. And then let's always remember today, every night I lay down, I crawl my bed and lay down beside my wife and think grateful that 44 years, I think we're coming up on 44 years of marriage. And what a golly, man, I hit a home run when I latched onto her. You know, the steps, I wasn't a righteous man then. I was a wicked man. I was a wicked man. And the Lord knew I'd need her. The Lord knew I would need her. And someday I'll give you that testimony. Michelle came to Christ before I did. She didn't even know what happened to her. Both little, I was a raised good little Catholic boy, and she went to Catholic grade school, and she received Christ. And 2 weeks later, I received Christ. And from the foundations of the earth, Michelle was and I were designed to be together. I believe that. You guys believe that? I believe that. And the walk we've had together over these last 40 years has been unbelievable. And so I couldn't have done it without her. She couldn't have done it without me. And it's the way it's supposed to be. The two become one. I'm not here to brag about my wife. I'm just telling you that. Because I remembered, as I've got to this morning, that Connie Dunphy can't roll over and hug Bill. Tris Zasto can't roll over and hug Cal. Those Tennessee 10, they're being thrown in jail. We can't forget those folks, people. We can't forget them. And I would just encourage those of you who know Connie Dunphy, give her a call. And those of you who know Cal, Trish, give her a call. Encourage those people. As we pray for the release of their husbands, pray for the women and orphans, the widows and orphans, their husbands in jail. For what? For nothing. In jail for nothing. So we remember Paul Goslin this morning. Remember Pastor Bill and Eva, although I don't think they locked her up. And Jimmy Zastro and and Eva Zastro, and oh my Lord, Kyle. Does the Lord would multiply that time. Let's not look. Come on now, let's not forget those people. Let's send them cards and letters. Encourage them, strengthen them. Pray that Donald Trump gets elected so they get out. Amen. Amen. Do you hear what I just said? And for those, again, for those of you out there, can't figure out who to vote.
Yep.
Look who they're locking up. Will you look who they're locking up? They're not locking up Antifa, BLM. They're locking up Christians, God-fearing people who don't want to do anything except rescue unborn children. They're locking them up in jail. Who is? The current administration. And coming for you next. Oh, I got so much to give you today. I got so much. But so we've been doing this nightly prayer vigil. Please bear with me. It's going to be good today, I promise. Hang on. Anybody out there besides me feel the momentum shifted? Has anybody besides me felt that? That there is a, I said it last week on the show, there's a political shift taking place in America right now, and we don't understand it. As much as that political shift happened back in 1968, I was at 68, the Democratic National Convention, when they finally stood up against the Vietnam War, make love, not war, and a realignment and reassignment that took place politically in America. We are there again. It is happening right now again. Right now again. We spoke about that the other day. See, we're going to have to decide, those of us who carry the name of Christ, we're going to have to decide whether or not America and the world is redeemable, or is Jesus coming? Because it's been my opinion that most of the church, for the most part, has given up. Would anybody want to disagree with that? Church has given up. Church has cast the culture to the curb, and just they go into their own little huddles on Sunday, and they got a lot of flashy lights and a great band and praise music, and they dance around, and then they walk out of there and have nothing to do with anything going on around them. When the Bible says that they're to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world, and they're not, and we're not.
Amen.
A worm has turned, friends. And I don't want to disappoint you. I don't think Jesus is coming as soon as a lot of people think. That's my take on it. I don't think it's coming soon. Ray, I want you to get ready. Mary Beth's got her hand up. Her hand's going to get sore. Go ahead, Mary Beth. Can't hear you. Can't hear you.
Keep going. Keep going.
Keep going. Can't hear you. Okay, Ray LeBlanc, I can hear you.
Now I got it.
Well, come on.
Sorry. Just 7 p.m. Eastern, but I would just want Central. Sorry, but I just wondered, do they change the link every night, Coach, or no?
We'll send a new link out. Supposedly not. We'll send a new link out. We do change. Yeah, we had okay. Horrible technical difficulties last night. Producer says The producer says same link. Same link.
Oh. Okay.
Same link. But we're going to send it out every night anyway.
Okay.
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 Cool.
And then just a reminder that tenfold, God will restore to all those prisoners tenfold what they have stolen. Just a reminder about that.
Yeah, they're at war now, friends. They're prisoners of war right now. Right now, they're prisoners of war. Just as real as it was in the Second World War, what the Japanese did to those guys, and just the same as in Vietnam, we left a lot of people over there. These guys are prisoners of war. They're in jail. They're in war right now. Right now, they're prisoners of war. But Ray LeBlanc, this doesn't happen very often. Ray said, Coach, I was awakened last night, and here's, the Lord said something, shared something with me, and Ray wants to share it with us here today. So, Ray, come on in, brother.
Yeah, I don't have it in front of me, but
we have it up on the, we have it up on our screen, Ray.
Oh, okay. Let me click on that myself. I don't know if you want me to read it out or...
Whatever you want to do, you tell me.
Yeah, well, a burden on my heart was through this 11 days that we set aside to pray. We left out the most important element of it. It was prayer and fasting. You mentioned fasting many times in the past, the importance of it all. And the Lord was just re-centering me back that it's very important as we go through what we're going through right now to take the time too fast. A lot of things that are happening today through prayer and fasting is our two major weapons that we need. And we become lukewarm in that. In Revelation 3:15, I got written down here that he knows our works, that they are neither cold or hot. And I would rather they be cold or hot, but because they're lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'll spew them out of my mouth.
Amen.
Yeah. And we are entering these perilous times that no other generation has ever gone through.
That's true.
Yet in rage, in times of troubles, they left us as samples of God in his holy writ. And if you could just bring it up more, somebody stop via rolling.
Spencer, scroll down.
Read more. Yeah, thank you. In 2 Timothy 3:16, that says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness.
Mm.
Let's examine a few of these examples given to us. When Jonah ran away from God's word, we can consider that he had become lukewarm in a relationship with God, right? Now, the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the fish for 3 days and three nights. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited out Jonah out of the dry land. Jonah began to enter in the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, days of Nineveh shall be overthrown. So people of Nineveh believed God, and they proclaimed a fast. And they put themselves in sackcloth and ashes, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and took a missing part of it, but something in his robe from him, and he covered him with sackcloth, and he sat in ashes.
Humiliation.
Amen. Published throughout Nineveh by the decree, the king and the nobles said, let no man or beast, bird nor flock, taste anything of them, not feed or not drink, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God, then turn away one from all his evil and from the violence that is in their land. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger and perish us not?
God, repent. Repent means to turn, right? Doesn't mean to say you're sorry. To repent means you turn and go another direction.
So we have set aside 11 days of prayer each night, 8 p.m. Eastern time. Here's the link to join it right there. But what we neglected to mention during this prayer time is the importance of fasting as well. When God created that great fish that swallowed up Jonah, it illustrated his sore displeasure about lukewarm attitude regarding a lost and dying nation. Nineveh, can we in our own time not do the same for America?
So where it says Nineveh, put America, right, Ray?
And that's right. The land that we love. God bless America, the land that I love. We stand beside her through the night with the light from above. That light from above is Jesus calling us all to a deeper relationship through fasting and prayer. God created that big fish that spewed a lukewarm man out of his mouth.
Right.
Similar scripture we read in Revelation 3:15 expresses his sore displeasure with the lukewarmness. So we are entering into day 4 of the 11 days we committed to prayer for our nation, its leaders, Israel, and against the spiritual wickedness in all places.
So I'm going to ask everybody right now, fast a meal today. Start there. Fast a meal today. Go ahead, Ray.
Yeah. Wickedness in all places. Let's not forget the fact that these demonic entities, they know how they inhabit wicked men. For the weapons of our warfare are not are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I think we can also... You know, I apologize because part of that's missing. Okay, I can move the screen.
That's right. Let me stop you there because I heard from the Holy Spirit. Listen, when you fast a meal. Make sure you declare to the Lord you're fasting the meal. Don't just not eat. Just acknowledge, Lord, I want to do this, but I'm not. I'm sacrificing this meal. Acknowledge it. Go ahead, Ray.
That's right. So God, to the people of strongholds, I think we can also apply this verse to our battle. Matthew 17, 19 through 19:21. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast these out? Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, have faith as a grain of mustard seed. Ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting.
Evidently, they're different kinds, huh? They're different kinds, evidently, here.
Yep. Yep. Well, bring it back. You scrolled down too far. Prayer and fasting. Amen. So, folks, we're on the precipice of a destruction as a blessed people that have forgotten their God. So let us return to the God of our fathers. Apply these tried true instructions given to us by our Heavenly Father. And tarry with us 1 hour in fasting and prayer, lest he vomit us out of his mouth. Amen.
Amen, Ray. Amen, Ray.
Downloaded me. And
so everybody out there, fast a meal today. Acknowledge it before the Lord. Fast a meal.
Thank you. Let me share that.
Hey, pray Psalm 91. Fast a meal and pray Psalm 91. Thank you, Ray.
Well, thank you for sharing, Ray.
What did you say, Chad? I'm sorry.
I said thank you for sharing.
Yes,
Ray.
Thanks, Ray. Thank you, Ray. I'm sorry you couldn't get any sleep. Just kidding. Okay, I'll get a couple of you here then. I got to move on. Going, Craig, come on. Craig and Mel.
I just want to confirm what Ray said, because when I sent you that text yesterday morning about we should do communion, I looked at that black drink over there and I said, I can't have that black drink in the morning until after the election. So I gave that up, and I gave something else up. So I just want
to give up coffee, whatever. Doesn't have to be a meal.
Well, I'd rather fast a meal than fast coffee for that long. But anyways, I just want to give confirmation to what the Lord was telling Ray. That's all I'm trying to say.
Amen. Amen. We're winning. I'm going to show it to you here in a minute. Mel.
Good morning. Hey, so while Ray was talking, I quick put up a link on the Liberty Action Network. So Spencer, if that's you, if you want to go there, I haven't worked it to the top of the post at the bottom of the page, but go to actions, go to current actions at the top tab. Yeah, good. There you go. So, and I added prayer and fasting to the action. So scroll down just a little bit, you would. So that's the link that you sent me, Coach. So if that's current, I put that information into the action. So we're used to working this way. Just go to the Liberty Action Network. Go to actions for now. I'll be moving that up higher on the front page. But for now, just go to actions, current action, and the 11-day prayer, vigil, and fasting is right there. Thanks.
Thanks, Mel, for being on top of it there. Thank you. Randy.
Coach, I want to, thank you, Ray. That's awesome. But Coach, we need to make this connection. when you say you're going to fast, take that time that you were going to eat, that 30 minutes or an hour, even make it an hour right then, and take it and put a plate out. You'll sit at the table, put a plate out there, and just don't do anything, but just sit there and meditate upon the Lord, ponder, pray, speak, listen. It's all these things are part of it, Coach, because the point of fasting is for us to believe God. The point of fasting is to us to hear the will of God and to line up with it. That's what he wants. Jesus said, have faith in God. The point of that parable, and it's also in Mark chapter 11 when he talked to the fig tree, he said, if you'll hear what I'm saying to you, if you'll understand the will of God, you will say to this mountain, okay, what's our mountain, Coach? It's our country. It's about God coming back in his glory in our country. The reason we're fasting is not so that Donald Trump will be elected or not elected. The reason we're fasting is so that the will of God will be done in our nation again because of our wickedness and Remember Psalm 2 Chronicles 7:14. It talks about it, God healing and land and all that. We talk about that. But what he says, he said, you must turn from your wicked ways. That's what repentance does. It shows you, I am wicked. I need God. I need to repent. And that is what this whole thing is about. It's about repentance, finding a coming back into position with covenant, with God. And thanks for doing this, Ray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Man, something's happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. We staked, we took a small crew and we staked all the media in Columbus, Ohio this last weekend. ABC, CBS, NBC, public television, radio stations. Took a crew of us and went out and did that. Took authority over it. Randy, I thank you, Randy, for you having the vision for doing that. And just took authority over the airwaves. It was very easy to do. We had a group, I don't know, five or six of us, it doesn't matter. We went to the four corners. Everybody went to a corner. We read the declarations that Randy created for us. We took authority over it. We prayed those kingdoms down, and we staked the place. And watch God do his work. So, Randy, folks, we can do this stuff, man. Some of you out there, hear me. We're going to be staking the Board of Elections. We got to go stake it. Hear that, Michelle? We got to go do that. We got to go stake the Board of Elections. I got a lot of stuff today, man. I got a lot of stuff. Sorry. It's important that you guys hear some of this. Look, friends, the Lord's really, really, really doing something. Really doing something. And I want to play some things today. Understand, again, this is not about Donald Trump. This is, call it what you want. Call it Gideon. Call it whatever. Call it Jonah. Call it whatever. Whatever. God will use whoever God will use. What they've tried to do is they've tried to get us to focus on the person. It's not about the person. It's about a movement. And you remember last week, was it Friday? I think it was Friday or was it Thursday? I don't remember. I said there's a shift going on. There's a restructuring of American politics happening right in front of us, folks. Right now, right in front of us, there's a restructuring. There's a restructuring. And it's not Republican, Democrat. It is right now, but it isn't going to be that. Because I'm going to tell you something. Republicans are not on our team. Sorry. I'm sorry. Republicans are not on our team, and the Democrats are not on our team. And what we've seen is a conglomeration of people who are beginning to understand, and they're calling it MAGA because they don't know what else to call it. And that coalition of MAGA, did you guys see they filled Madison Square Garden last night? What was it? 30,000 inside, 80,000 outside trying to get in New York City? Huh? You folks, there's something going on right in front of us we don't get. I want to share with you, I sent this out to many of you. Spencer, bring up Steve Dace. It just says Dace on it. Steve Dace is a radio host. Good one. Good conservative radio host. And he sent this out the other day. This blew me away as I was coming home. Because you tell me that we're not on the same page. If we were to open our eyes and see and understand, we are not on okay, look, hang on, folks. The Pope is playing for the other team. The Pope is not playing for Team Jesus. Do you understand that, friends? Please tell me you understand that. I'm not speaking out against Catholicism. I'm telling you that the Pope is not on Team Jesus.
Amen.
So here's what Steve Dace wrote. And I want to, you know, it's on the screen so you can follow along. But see if you haven't been hearing some of these echoes here. He said, I just finished the Rogan Trump interview. By the way, have you seen that? 100 million people have seen it. And what it was Donald Trump unfiltered. And if you haven't watched it, I mean, Rogan's dropping the F-bomb all the time. Rogan was just being Rogan. But understand, Rogan is reaching a new element of American. You do know that, don't you? He's reaching a younger generation of Americans. Rogan is. They love him. He said, Steve Dace said, I just finished watching this interview and I want to share my thoughts. So he says, let's not bury the lead here to start. This will be the most impactful political interview of my lifetime, including before and after. That interview will be the most impactful interview in our lifetimes. Attempts will be made to emulate it moving forward because it will be the model moving forward, of just like the JFK-Nixon debate in 1960. You guys remember that? Do you remember JFK and Nixon? And Kennedy won because Nixon, he didn't have on makeup and his eyes looked dark and he just didn't and changed the whole thing. But whatever comes next will take a backseat to this interview, this precedent setter for the following reasons. Folks, we are seeing, oh my God, the destruction of mainstream media. Oh, scroll down. Rogan arguably has the largest, I didn't know this, the largest of any singular show since Oprah. Joe Rogan is the most popular broadcaster in America. Right now, Joe Rogan, and he's not on media, he's on a podcast. You don't have to turn on your TV. You don't have to go to Channel 4, or Channel 6, or Channel 10 to pick up Rogan. You can get him anywhere, any place. Nobody controls him. Arguably one of the largest of any singular show since Oprah, but it's also whom his audience is. Men! Men who view themselves of some form of truth seeker, but also distrusting of the existing political informational paradigm. Young men in particular know something is wrong. Think how much they've been lied to. Think how much this generation of 25, 26, 30-year-old guys, think how much they've been lied to. And they know it.
Boom.
For better or for worse, more discipleship of the next generation of male headship in this country is done via Rogan than by the church. You understand what he just said? The church is more likely to, I'm sorry, Rogan is more likely to create manly men than the church. Somebody say amen and hallelujah.
And, amen and hallelujah.
Says the church, by the latter's choice, the church doesn't want to create men. Church wants to create womenly men. Wow. Thanks, Steve. If I could, I'd go give Steve Dace a hug. Number two, scroll up. Trump is arguably the most famous living person in human history. Let that settle in there a minute. And yet, the largest platform in this country was still able to grant him the opportunity to counter so many misconceptions of who he actually is and what he actually thinks in the resistance movement he represents. So for the first time, 100 million people saw Donald Trump without the filter of NBC and ABC and CBS and public television. No filters. They sat there, they watched Rogan calling MF this and F this and F this and saw Trump respond raw. This interview alone won't erase nearly a decade of malevolent corporate journalism, but it is a D-Day invasion level event. The marriage of the largest alternative media platform yet devised and the biggest living threat to the current media political industrial complex has established a beachhead in the enemy's occupied territory. So this most famous man on the largest platform with no controls, nobody pulling the levers, a bomb went off. It was D-Day. Just as J6 forever shifted the momentum in the last great war, it's quite possible that October 25th will be seen by future generations as the great momentum shifter in the great information war. Folks, listen. They're making the mainstream media obsolete. The beneficial effect of this to candidate Trump would be the greatest and most expensive media buy in world political history. If Trump wanted to go out and buy something where 100 million people would watch him, you couldn't pay enough money to do it. You couldn't do it. And thus a buy that probably isn't possible given the resources needed and the perfect pithy message also required to maximize it and capture the attention, imagination also needed. Meanwhile, this could be the most watched interview in all of human history. And it featured a candidate whose previous two presidential campaigns were decided by less than 130,000 total combined votes in divisive swing states, being granted an unfettered opportunity to redefine himself to millions right as the election is happening. What does that mean? He got to see 100 million people raw, unhinged, without any controls. People like what they saw, by the way. more eschatological damage was done. In other words, that would be against religious predictions. More damage was done to religious predictions done in the spirit of the age, threatening to destroy Western civilization in the interview, than what the combined efforts of the weak, anemic, an effeminate Christian church that gave birth to Western civilization in the first place has systematically attempted in a generation. Vinny, that would be the biggest boom ever. Steve Dace nails it, right?
Boom.
More epistemological damage was done to the sissy, passive, sit on your butt. Everybody, Jesus loves everybody. We're all good, all one half. More damage was done by that interview than anything in a generation.
Boom.
And it was just two dudes who have some confused, funky beliefs by the biblical worldview standard, just desiring to pursue the truth. Trump ain't no deep Christian, and Rogan certainly ain't no deep Christian, but boy, they were dealing out the truth. Thus, you can also see why it's not trying to assassinate many of our path. Oh, I got to do that again. You can see why the spirit of the age tried to assassinate Rogan's platform during the scandemic. And it's literally trying to assassinate Trump now. Thus, you can see why it's not trying to assassinate many of our pastors. They're after Trump. They ain't after pastors. Oh, they may be after me and guys who talk like me, but they ain't after that sissy pastor where you go to church. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. They ain't after that sissy pastor.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. No, those sissy pastors standing in the pulpit saying they can't vote for Trump because he's too whatever. Oh, he screwed women or whatever it might be. They don't understand we're freaking war. Boy. Sadly, most of the pastors are nowhere near the threat that those two guys holding this conversation are. Joe Rogan and Donald Trump was more of a threat to the Luciferian left than all the pastors in America. That's another boom from Steve Dace.
Boom.
Scroll down.
Boom.
Scroll down. Because I'm going to tell you why. 100 million people watching Steve Dace and Donald Trump probably ain't going to church. The greatest example of this, in my opinion, was a conversation about environmentalism. Trump displayed an impressive command of the issue, and in this interview did more damage to a key cog of the left's religion than I have ever seen done in one setting. Donald Trump, if you didn't see it, dismantled environmentalism, global warming. It's awesome. And again, hey, folks, he's just sitting there doing an interview. They're not chopping it up. They're not editing it. They're just letting the guy talk. And again, given the postpartisan makeup of most of Rogan's audience, consider the opportunity there. This is a form of cultural evangelism. Trump was literally debunking, can I say this, the religious left's climate hoax occult religion, the way John of Damascus did so, Islam or Francis Schaeffer deconstructed the counterculture.
This is powerful. Amen, coach.
This is powerful writing, man. Once again, this is a great threat to the spirit of the age. If Trump, Rogan are able to repackage common sense and have it transcend the mostly fake partisan divide. See, look, folks, I'm going to tell you something. Your Democrat friends, they're on your side. They're just deceived. That's the point he's making. This right, left, it's all made up. It's all made up. Divide and conquer. Homosex, trannies, environment. It's all nothing more than means to divide. It's all this. Wow. That is a far more existential threat to darkness than the current collective state of the church. Steve Dace says Joe Rogan and Donald Trump unhinged are a greater threat to the standard governmental religious cabal than anything going on in any of the churches. 100 million people watching. Consider the contrast of this conversation happening amid the backdrop of leftists burning down the Washington Post and the LA Times for not rubbing their bellies. In other words, the left has, see, the left has controlled all the media. They've controlled all the media. And now the Washington Post did not endorse Kamala. Did you know that? They didn't. Why? Because they know Trump's going to win. And they don't want to be his enemy. And the LA Times did not endorse Kamala Harris. Why? Because they're reading too, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Coach, that's the biggest boom I ever heard.
A marker was also laid down. You better sit down. Steve Dace, I'd like to give him a big hug. A marker was also laid down here of where the cultural war will likely go after Trump. Where is the cultural war going to go after Trump? It's going to follow Franklin Graham and T.D. Fakes. Is that where we're going? Is that where Christianity is going? With a church transing itself and thus self-castrated. Is that a line? Huh? Is that ever a line? The church has become a tranny. Ooh. The church has cut off its balls. He didn't say that. I said that. With the church cutting off its balls, something must inevitably emerge to confront the darkness. If the church isn't going to do something, God's going to raise up something to counter and oppose the darkness. Do I think God would prefer to use our family values pastors of little vice and less profane speech? Of course he would. Of course he wishes the pastors would do it. But Gideon blew the trumpet for the battle. And the church has mostly decided that it's got better things to do than fight. So men like Rogan, and Trump, and Randy, Coach, Deck, and Allison, Klein. So men like us, it is then.
Amen.
That doesn't mean as believers we compromise our core principles. Because we're not permitted such a thing. But it does mean that we recognize where the battle is raging and go there and fight. Oh my goodness. Alongside those who are willing to fight with us. Not everyone on those boats headed to the beaches of France that June morning were spirit-filled believers by any means. That they all join in the battle. Cast aside your sweater vests and your furrowed brows and join the battle while we still can. Because this interview confirms once and for all that this battle will be had with or without us.
Amen.
Boom.
Is that a boom? Hey, Spencer, pull up real quickly. I'm going to open it up then. Pull up Bonhoeffer. Pull up Bonhoeffer. Evidently, there's a movie coming out on Dietrich Bonhoeffer who opposed the Nazis.
What's more amazing is he typed that whole thing on his phone.
It's unbelievable. Is that not what we've been seeing? Randy, isn't that what we've been saying? Isn't that what we've been saying? Where the hell's the church? And two crude, crass, dare I say it, NASCAR crowd guys are blowing the trumpet while your pastor hides behind smoke machines and lights in the ceiling. This is powerful. Bonhoeffer. Now, friends, I'm sorry if you're listening because it's in German with subtitles. So you're not going to be able, I'll try to do the best I can. This is Dietrich Bonhoeffer in a movie that's coming up. Go ahead, Spence. It's Bonhoeffer. We're loading up kids in the buses, man.
Matthias.
Matthias, what's going on? Matthias.
Hey, You don't think I noticed you just because you play dresser? Hey, Olaf, enough of this. Carnival, come. Boys, what is this? Hey, the kids are missing 5 minutes inside. What? Wilhelm. Heinrich, look at me. This is madness. This is not a joke to be played. Hey, I don't need your hands on me, sir.
You need more than that.
They are children.
Go back inside, Pastor. The church youth are now the Hitler youth, as it should be.
Hitler's taken over the children.
Only that this Kletchman seems to have lost his flock.
His clergyman's lost his flock. We're stealing the children, putting them in buses and driving them away to slaughter them.
Dietrich, listen to me.
The church youth is now costumed as the Hitler youth? I mean, how long until the entire country is painted black? So what can we do? Because do something we must.
It's not what we can do. It's what you can do. Sit down, Herr Bonhoeffer. My every move is being watched since I gave you that Sunday at Casa Willem. We need someone young who has staked the claim for the truth already.
No one's been interested in speaking to me since the last time I opened my mouth.
You may not know it, but your sermon not only angered the Nazis, it also galvanized a whole raft of seminary students and made you friends in places where they never even go to church.
Good. How about that? How about that?
Church's life is on the line.
Treason. So when he spoke the truth, the government got mad at him, and so did the established church. Isn't that something? He says, because more than the church's life is on the line. Go ahead.
This is a knife to the heart of the nation.
Bravery is a rare commodity, Dietrich.
Bravery is a rare commodity.
Especially when it's needed the most. Can you rally more than your words to this cause?
I'm ready for anything, sir.
I'm about to ask you to save the German church.
To save it? We'll have to split it apart.
Amen!
And we'll go to England as our spy. Bishop Bell, he's already waiting.
To save the American church, we have to split it apart. Vinny. You know what you need there, Vinny?
Boom.
Come on in, Adam.
Hey, Coach. Good morning. Hey, good morning. I really believe that the Lord is going to use everything that's going on with politics right now to also wake up his church and to reveal these false wussified pastors. Amen. And these prosperity pastors. Amen. Because in order for the church to gain more ground for the Lord, he has to reveal these things. So I'm encouraged.
Me too, brother. We're winning. Johnny, come on in.
Yeah, good morning. It's like Trump public enemy number one, then you got Tulsi Gabbard, then now you've got Elon Musk.
They're coming over, baby.
Here comes Joe Rogan. He's the next one on the list.
Joe Rogan's got more stones than 98% of the pastors, right? Did you guys watch the interview? You got to go watch the interview. Because Joe Rogan talks to somebody like a guy in a bar. He ain't speaking to the president of the United States. He's talking to some guy at a bar. That's all he's doing. Just talking out. And Trump's responding. Just like some guy at a bar.
Boom.
I got to show you this. I'm sorry to show you so much, but it's powerful. We need it. Bring up number four. This is Robert Kennedy Jr. yesterday at Madison Square Garden. I want you to play it at 1.75 speed. And you tell me that this guy doesn't crystallize. I'm sorry, wrong one. Bring up Tucker. I'm sorry. Number two, bring up, this is good too, but I don't have time to do both of them. Bring up Tucker. This was Tucker yesterday at Madison Square Garden, played at 1.75 speed, and you tell me that he does not nail exactly where we are. Started at about the one-minute mark. Moving forward to about the one-minute mark.
Honor to be here.
Right about this. And it's right there.
Just another day following Bobby Kennedy Jr. at a Donald Trump rally in Madison Square Garden. That's totally normal. Liz Cheney's out there with Kamala Harris. And there's Bobby Kennedy calling to protect women's sports at a Trump rally. It's a realignment. It's unbelievable. And the fact that it's here is even sweeter. Imagine if you're, and just pause for one moment. Imagine you're Donald Trump. You're from New York City. You become famous in New York City. You make your fortune in New York City. And all of a sudden, the leadership of New York City decides they're going to destroy you because they don't like your politics. And so they, yeah, boo. Imagine if that were you, though. And they try and take everything that you have. They try and put you in prison. They try and put your children in prison. If that happened to you, how often do you think you'd be going back to New York City? How about never? And yet he's here. It's like getting thrown out of a bar. And you think to yourself, well, you know, all my friends are in the bar. And you approach the door, and there's the bouncer, like, you're not allowed in here. But from behind the bouncer, you hear the cheers of your friend, come on in! And the bouncer hangs his head in shame. He's embarrassed that he's working for the man trying to keep the most popular person out of the bar. And that's Donald Trump, back in the city that produced him with no embarrassment at all in a room full of his friends. The stones that takes, the bravery that takes, is incredible. Donald Trump's going to win. He's going to win. I know that that's true. Why is Donald Trump going to win? The people he's about to defeat have no idea. And they're panicked. They have no idea why people like Donald Trump. And their first theory was, well, Donald Trump is evil, so half the country's evil also. And that's one of the reasons they spent the last 4 years trying to destroy the country, because they're mad at its voters for liking Donald Trump. How much easier would it have been just to pause for 20 minutes and ask yourself honestly in some silent place, why do people like Donald Trump? And if they had been honest enough to ask themselves that question, they would have come up with the two main reasons, and here's what they are. The first reason that people like Donald Trump is because he likes them. That's why. And it's real. Affection is something you can't fake. I don't care how many times Kamala Harris would tell me she loves me, I don't believe her. I saw her kiss her husband with a mask on. A mask on. That's her version of love. 10 years telling you Trump is a hater. Do you feel that on him? No, you don't. Because it's not there. I've spent a lot of time with Trump. And there's not one moment I've ever been with him off camera where he's spending his time grousing about people he hates. Ever. He's talking about the people and the country he loves in his private time. Trust me. And people know, in a country that's been taken over by a leadership class that actually despises them and their values and their history and their culture and their customs, really hates them to the point that it's trying to replace them, they know someone who actually has affection for them, and that's Donald Trump. And it's requited. It's requited. They know. When he goes to McDonald's and serves fries, like, he's not faking that at all. That's why that worked. Democratic media consultants are like, how is that working? Because it's real. That's why. And the second reason that people love Trump, and I put myself in this category, is why I'm here today, is because he's liberated us in the deepest and truest sense. And the liberation he has brought to us is the liberation from the obligation to
Jesus. Jesus. Slow this down, folks. This is so critical. I never thought about it. Donald Trump has freed us because now we're allowed to speak the truth. Go ahead.
Lies. Donald Trump has made it possible for the rest of us to tell the truth about the world around us. And that's the single most liberating thing you can do for people. If you want to enslave people, if you want to degrade them, force them to tell lies. And they have. They forced us to lie about everything at gunpoint, effectively. They put people in prison for refusing to lie. And not just the obvious lies that men can become women or Vladimir Putin blew up the Nord Stream pipeline. No, honestly, he did. January 6th was an insurrection. They were unarmed, but it was very insurrection-y. Not even the obvious ones, but the big lie. You know what the big lie is? The big lie is that they're impressive. That's what the big lie is. That the people in charge have somehow earned the right to rule over you, and they haven't. And you know that. These are the single most useless people in the United States. They have no skills whatsoever. They've got 3/4 of the money, and they didn't earn it. They set up a system precisely for the purpose of awarding themselves wealth and power when it's undeserved. You look at Liz Cheney and you ask yourself honestly, what skill could she possibly have that allowed her to send hundreds of thousands of people to their deaths? Did she earn that? I don't think she did. No fair system would make Liz Cheney powerful. No fair system would make Larry Fink rich. No fair system would elevate someone like Kamala Harris to a presidential nomination. She's never been accused of doing anything useful. She has precisely no achievements. She's a nominee without getting a single vote. She is a metaphor for the system they created to make themselves rich and powerful, and then they have the gall to lecture you, the people who can actually change a flat tire and repair a power grid, who have useful jobs, who pay your taxes and work 40 hours a week, lecture you that you are somehow immoral. And Donald Trump has empowered the rest of us through mostly just sticking around in the face of their hate and abuse and persecution. He has given the rest of us the right to call BS on the charade. No, you are not better than us. No, you are not smarter than us. No, you do not deserve what you have. You probably stole it. No, you're not going to bully me into silence anymore. And I can promise you at this point, 9 days out, when Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and Elon Musk and Tulsi Gabbard and pretty much every high school senior and college shorty girl in the country has come out finally saying, yeah, I am for Donald Trump, actually. When the entire country has realized there is nothing embarrassing about this, what's embarrassing is to take a perfectly great country and destroy it, as they have. I'm not ashamed. You should be. At that moment, it's going to be pretty tough for them. 10 days from now to look in the eye to America with a straight face, it's going to be pretty hard to look at us and say, you know what? Kamala Harris, she got 85 million votes because she's just so impressive. As the first Samoan Malaysian low IQ former California prosecutor ever to be elected president, it was just a groundswell of popular support. And anyone who thinks otherwise is just a freak or a criminal. At this stage of the game, after 9 years of listening to their lies and calling every single one of them totally false, no, it's not safe and effective, and no, she's not impressive. It's very hard for me to believe the rest of us are going to say, you know what, Joe Scarborough, you're right. You're right. She won fair and square because she's just so impressive. I don't think so. And to me, that is liberation. It's the freedom to say what's obviously true as a free man and not a slave. And I just want to say thank you, Donald Trump, for that.
Amen. Ah, is that it? The ability to say what you think without having consequences. Oh, there'll always be consequences, but it's not illegal. They're not going to throw you in jail. And if we don't stand up now, we'll never get it. We'll never get it. Now, Robert F. Kennedy does a great job. We don't have time to play it. Can I show you what we're countering? And I'll open it up. We've got 9 minutes left. I saw this yesterday, and I almost barfed. Pull up number six. Folks, the Columbus Dispatch, which is the largest newspaper in Ohio, I believe. Are you ready? This is the propaganda, friends. This is what we're dealing with. What they have started, are you ready? They're focusing on a human kindness column. Human kindness. And so this girl here, Sophia Veneziano, is going to start writing every week in the Dispatch about human kindness. As if that's bad enough, listen to this freak and ask yourself, what the hell is going on in America? Go ahead and play that.
Hi, I'm Sophia Veneziano, and I'm the Dispatch's new kindness reporter. This is a collaboration we have with the Columbus Foundation to bring you stories of inspiration and hope.
Hang on. The Columbus Foundation. Do you guys hear that? Did you hear that? The Columbus Foundation. The Columbus Foundation, which is a lefty religious organization that refused people and the members of the Columbus Foundation wanted to make a donation to Coach Dave Live, and the foundation would not let them do that because we're so hateful. So they got a kindness there. Kindness. Go ahead.
We want to celebrate people in the Columbus community who are serving their neighbors, who are involved in their workplaces, and just generally doing the unsung acts of kindness that maybe go unnoticed or unseen. So please send them my way, and I'd love to connect with you and anyone that you
kindness. Get it off. Get it off. Kindness. Kindness reporter. A kindness reporter. All right. Somebody come in there. Jeff, come on in.
Coach, it goes right along with what I read yesterday. Billy Graham's granddaughter is voting for Kamala because Trump is not kind and he's not representing the church. It's like, jeez.
There it is. Hey, folks, is your pastor speaking up? Is your pastor saying anything about what's going on? Huh? Or is your pastor, maybe he'll start reading the kindness report in your church. Maybe that's what he'll start. That's the ticket. Come on, Dale.
Well, Coach, you said something just a little bit ago, man, and let me tell you what, my ears perked up and it dropped in my spirit. You know, I shared that when we was talking and Randy said, yeah, let's go after the newspapers. Coach, the Dominion machine, what a spiritual connection. Coach, we have to stake your polling places because Dominion, right? The prince of the power of the air thinks he has Dominion, but he does not. We need to stake those things, those machines that have been trying, that they use to flip votes. Brother, we need to spiritually stake those things and bind those things in the mighty name of Jesus that they cannot flip those votes. Amen?
Let's get her done, baby.
Did you see that video I sent you to, Coach, with that shit? Come on. That was insane.
Folks, here's the problem. Trump's so far ahead, they can't cheat. I don't know what's going to happen. Dave Allison.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. Great program. For those of you that are still watching the American Idol on Sunday that we call football, they had a propaganda commercial there. Somebody posted it. I seen it about hate, telling people to stand up against hate. What is hate? Define hate. If I tell you that I'm against murderers, is that hate?
That's right.
So if you buy in that narrative, you're lost. You're done. Because God wants us to hate a lot of things. And if you can't figure that out, then we're in trouble.
There's a lot of things we're supposed to be hating. But folks, opposition is not hate. I don't hate the Cincinnati Bengals when the Browns are playing for them. But I'm rooting for the Browns. I don't hate the Bengals. So see, what they've created is a scenario where if you oppose anything, you hate it. See, hang on real quickly. I'll get you in here, Randy. Pull up for me number 10. I came across this website. Counter hate. What? Counter hate. Somebody close your microphone. Stop the spread of hate and lies online. View our work. Scroll down, Spence. Stop hate. Oh, fight back against Elon Musk. Yeah, he's a hater now, I guess, huh? Oh, here are some popular talk. Anti-vax information. Scroll down, Spence. Anti-Semitism, right there. Child safety, climate change. Parents' guide. Folks, do you understand? Do you know they're losing? You have any idea how bad they're losing? Randy, come on in.
They're in a panic, Coach. If we'll just take the win the game right now, we're on a roll. We can win this game. I want to reiterate, Coach, that the revelation that Ray brought this morning.
Amen. Okay,
and if we can see it, Coach, we've all read that passage in Revelation about he'd rather you be hot or cold. He hates lukewarmness. Do we understand, Coach, that right now Jesus, Lord Jesus, He is dropping the sword on lukewarmness.
Amen.
This is the very thing that's coming, that's changing right now. People are coming in or they're going out. There's right and wrong. There's black and white. It is so, there's no middle. And this is this election. You're going to see this. And Coach, we have the message for all the Trumpers, for all the MAGA. We have the message they're really, really hungry for. We have it.
They hate those who speak against the established narrative. That's the hate that's going on. And I saw it today, see. That's why they hate Trump.
Christianity is the answer they're all looking for. They just don't know it. The church has never been there to really show them the real picture. They're searching for the church. They're searching for God and the truth, Coach. And no one's there to show them the real light. They see the light of the Gnostics and all that. They don't see the light, Jesus, the light of the world. It's him. And so we can show them, Coach.
You remember when Donald Trump showed up? What did he start doing? Fake news, fake news, fake news, fake news, fake news. The news media hates him because he exposed them, right? Fake news. Adam, quickly.
Hey, Coach, you know, many people are afraid to say it, but, you know, the Bible does say that God hates those who sow discord amongst the brethren. He hates those whose feet run swift to, shed blood. So God also hates. He hates evil.
He hates all workers of iniquity. God hates all workers. He hates them with a perfect hatred, is what the Bible says. Craig, quickly. Amen. Craig.
Well, the judgment's already fallen because it's already happening in the church. There's another mega pastor, Steve Vares, up in Indiana, and he's had to step down for inconsistencies with his marriage. So the judgment's here. It starts in the house of the Lord. If you can't see that, I mean, it's really been going on, it's gonna flow downhill to the people, to the wickedness. So it's already here.
Greg, we just need a couple more articles on kindness. If we can just get a kindness reporter, then because you do understand this, don't you, folks? Donald Trump isn't kind. He's not kind. Kamala's kind. Donald Trump isn't kind. Christians are kind. He's not kind, except all of the great prophets in the Bible weren't viewed as kind, were they? And I'm not saying that Donald Trump is the reincarnation of Jesus Christ, but he's representing a spirit that is countering the spirit of the age, a boldness to speak the truth regardless of the consequences. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what Jesus did. That's what John the Baptist did. He spoke truth to power. That's the mantle that God is laying on those who will pick it up today in America. God bless you. See you tomorrow.